morning. It's good to be with you this morning as we spend some time now in the study of God's Word. We appreciate the presence of everyone, and if you're visiting, we're glad that you're here, and it's good to have our own here, and it's good to be able to have some of my own family in, and it's always a blessing for parents to have their children with them and be able to spend some time with them. And so I'm very encouraged this morning, and I hope our time spent in God's Word will be beneficial and helpful. I'm told that there are 8.2 billion people in the world. That's a lot of people. If you were to start counting to 8.2 billion, it would take you a while, and when you got there, you'd have to keep counting, because I'm told that our world is growing, our population. There are more who are being born than who are dying, so our world population just continues to grow every day. But that's a lot of people. And it seems like lately I have noticed a lot where people bring out the differences that are in humanity around the world. And I got to thinking about that, and I'm saddened by the fact that we're losing sight of something that is found in the Word of God, and that is that God wants us to have something together. And in Jude, verse 3 in our scripture reading, Jude said that he wanted to write, he was giving all diligence to write about our common salvation. But something else that was more important came up, and so he began to write about that. But he wanted to write about our common salvation. I want to talk this morning about what we all share together. We live in a world where differences are accentuated. We hear so much today about diversity and differences and things that make us diverse and different. And we're losing sight of something that God wants. He wants us to share in something together. And today we tend to describe people around the world based upon differences. We've gotten away from what we're supposed to have in common. So we talk about people from red states and people from blue states. And we talk about people from the south and people from the north. And we talk about people that have this language or that language, this nationality or that nationality. And while there are things that might distinguish us in some way, we're losing sight of what we are all sharing in together. When was the last time you heard a lesson on what we're supposed to share together? We hear so much about the other. And we've lost sight of the very beginning of humanity. God wants to share with mankind together in some things. And I realize at the Tower of Babel that God made those different languages. I get that because they were joining themselves together in their pride to do something that they shouldn't have done. And I realize that all of the modern languages that we have go back to that as a result of what God did. But God does not want us to be divided. And yet we tend to accentuate diversity today, when in fact we find in the Bible that we're to have things in common. And so I want to talk about that this morning. Apparently, Jude felt it very important. He was giving all diligence to write of our common salvation. That means that there's something important about a common salvation that gave Jude the desire to earnestly write about that. But something else came up, and you probably had that happen in your life, where you're about to do something that's important, but then something more critical comes up, and so you have to switch, and that's what Jude did. But he wanted to write of our common salvation, so I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about some things this morning that we all share in common with that 8.2 billion around the world. Can you think about that? Can you share in something common with 8.2 billion people? If you were to ask that question today, somebody would say, well, there's no way you could be in common with all those people. There's got to be. No, there are some things that we actually all share in common. And I want to talk about that this morning. And Daniel said something in his prayer that got me to thinking about, he was talking about praying about sharing this message with others. This is a great lesson that you can talk to others about. If you needed some sort of a talking point, some sort of a starting point with someone at school or work or somewhere else, you might just ask them someday, just say, can we talk a little bit about what we have in common? Can we talk a little bit about what we have in common? And begin to talk with them about these things that we're going to look at this morning. I have this lesson planned as one of my lessons in Ghana, Lord willing, when I get there. Here you are halfway around the world, and you get to be with people that you are literally have these things in common with. And they might look a little different, they might talk a little different, and you're saying, well, don't they talk English? They do, but they were raised on British English, so some of their English words are even a little different. But we have these things in common. And it's a great thing that binds us together. That song that we just sang, A Common Love, we sing that sometimes at our VBS and things like that. But it is a Bible message that is very, very important. And I want us to be reminded this morning of things that we all share together in. Let's begin all the way back in time. If you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, we share a common source. We share a common maker. We all came from the same place, and it wasn't amoeba to man. It wasn't evolution. We didn't all come from monkeys. We didn't all come from an amoeba way back when. Our common source, our common maker, capital M, borrowing from the Old Testament prophets describing God as our maker, we share a common source, and we've all been made in the image of God. We've lost sight of that. You can go anywhere in the world, and if you're looking at a human being, you're looking at someone who came from God, and we all have that exact part of our nature that is made in the image of God. What a beautiful thing that is. And can we look past the outward, external features of an individual? Can we look past that and look into their soul, if you will, and see someone who's made in the image of God? Wouldn't that help us better treat an individual around us? If we looked past their external nature and saw them as they really are, someone who's made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God. And we need to remember that. And that's why in James chapter 3, James says that when we speak to people, we don't need to speak cursing to them because they're made in the image of God. We don't need to talk to people as if they were just objects or things to be mistreated. We would not mistreat people if we realized that we all share in common the same source and the same maker. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. If you're looking at a human being, you're looking at someone who's made in the image of God. There is one Lord and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That is a lesson just in itself. Do you know that everybody here this morning and in Clarksville and Montgomery County and Tennessee and the U.S. and around the world, do you know that everyone has been given a spirit by God? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. The spirit in you was given to you by God. This is not being taught today. Your parents gave you your body, but God gave you your spirit. And He gives every living being their spirit. That didn't come from their parents. You didn't get your spirit from your parents. You got your spirit from God. And so did I. And so did every other 8.2 billion person in the world. And that's a beautiful thing. It's not just some physical organism that's kind of living and breathing. You have something different in you. And God gives you your spirit. Hebrews 12, verse 9. We all share a common maker. And when God made us, He gave us all the exact same nature. We have a free will. You can choose to do good or evil. You can choose to do good or bad. And Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel chapter 18 that you have a soul in you that you can choose to be righteous or you can choose to be wicked. You make that choice. You have that in you. And no other part of creation has that in them. Plants don't have that. And the planets and the plants and the rocks and the trees and the animals. They don't have that in them. You've been given something, and everybody else in the world has been given that exact same soul or spirit in them that has a free will. And you can freely choose to come to God or not. And Ezekiel even says in Ezekiel chapter 18 that when we mess up, when we do what's wicked, we can turn around and do what's right. Or if we do what's right, we can turn around and do what's wicked. We have a free will in us. Everybody has that same nature. Everybody has that choice. And we need to remember that we all share that in common all over the world. We've gotten away from that in our society. We say to people that they do things and we excuse their behavior. And we don't hold people responsible and we don't hold people accountable. But God gives us a free will and we can choose how we are going to act in this life. And He's going to hold us accountable for our choices. Young people, you need to think about the choices that you're making now in life. They're going to have ramifications for you long after today. So you've got to use your free will to choose the right kind of thing. And God asks us, and we'll talk about this in a minute, God asks us to come to Him. Revelation 22:17, whosoever will may come. We all share a free will nature, every one of us, all over the world. And because of that, we've got to choose between God or the devil. Do you know that we all share the same enemy? We all have the same enemy. You can go anywhere in the world, and if you're looking at an individual, they're facing the same enemy that you're facing right here in Clarksville, Tennessee, the exact same one, the devil, the evil one. They face the same kind of temptations, they face the same kind of errors. Whatever the devil is using here in Clarksville, Tennessee, he's using that over in Ghana and anywhere else around the world. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the same errors, the same lies, the same distractions, the same misplaced priorities, all over the world. Jesus said, deliver us from the evil one. He's all over the world. And so when you look at an individual and you see that there is a problem in their life, do you know what the problem is? We'll see about that in just a minute. But the problem is they're facing the same enemy that you are, and they've lost that battle. And we've got to help them. We've got to help them. And as Paul says, we are not ignorant of his devices. We know how the devil works. But they're facing the same enemy, the same opponent. And it doesn't matter what culture you're in. It doesn't matter what age group you are. He adapts to whatever it is. He adapts to the young people. He adapts to the workplace and the school and politics and churches and religions. He can adapt to any environment and weasel his way in and work his way in. And we have that same opponent all over the world. And like Peter says, we need to beware. We need to be careful. Our enemy is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We've got to help people around us face this opponent. And when an individual succumbs to the temptations of the devil, not because they have to, but because they choose to, like Eve did, we all share in the same need all over the world. We all have the same need. We all have the same problem, and it's the sin problem. Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. When a person, they're born into this life innocent and pure. That's why Jesus said the kingdom is like a little child. You're born into this life innocent and pure, but you get on up a little ways and you choose to violate God's word. You sin. And Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you know that all over the world everybody has the same disease? Everybody has this same heart disease. It's not a body disease, it's a heart disease, and it's called sin. And there's one cure. We'll talk about that in a minute. But everybody has this heart disease. It's all over the world. It's sin. sin, the Greek word hamartia, means to miss the mark. You've missed God's word. You've missed the mark. We're not living up to the standard of God's word, and we miss that mark. Like shooting an arrow at a target, and you miss. And when we sin, we miss. Sin is missing the mark. It's missing God's word. It could be in thoughts, it could be in deeds, it could be in words. But Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter where you go. That is the basic common need and problem all over the world. It's not hunger, although there are people in the world that hunger. It is not war, although there is war that goes on in Palestine and other places. That's not the common problem all around the world. It's sin. It's not a lack of education. It's not a lack of job funding. It's not a particular health issue. It's not politics or money or anything like that. The common problem is sin. And so this afternoon when we leave this church building and you're going home to eat or you're going to the potluck or you're going somewhere else and you see people around you, you're driving on Warfield Boulevard and you see some people, when you look at them, do you know that they have a problem? It's the same problem that is all over the world. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you see what happens today, brethren and friends? We're so busy talking about diversity and the things that make us different that we're not thinking about the things that we have in common. And one of them is very, very serious. And so because of that, God steps into our life and He doesn't want us to be lost in sin. So God, fortunately, gives us a message. It's called the Bible. We share a common message. And that message, from Genesis to Revelation, has a common theme, and that is the salvation of mankind. Do you know that this is all over the world? This is all over the world. It's in hundreds of languages. Why? Because there is a common problem, and so God meets it with a common message. And we might have family and friends and co-workers and classmates who need this message. They may need some other things in life. They may have a health problem and they need to go to a doctor, and that's fine. But their more serious problem is the sin problem. And God has given the great physician, if you will, in Jesus. When God said to Abraham, in your seed all the nations would be blessed. Look at that in your Bible in Genesis 12:3. Not some of the nations, all the nations. All the nations will be blessed. And Paul says in Galatians 3:16 that the seed is Christ. That's the message of the Bible. The whole message of the Bible is salvation through Jesus Christ. If you're in the Old Testament, the message is Jesus is coming. If you're in the Gospels, the message is Jesus is here. If you're reading in Acts through Revelation, the message is Jesus is coming again. But the message is Jesus saves. And it's a one unified message, one unified theme. A person today can pick up a Bible anywhere in their own language or in a language that they know. The United Bible Society here in the United States is working very, very hard to produce Bibles in every language, every known language today. And they're doing quite well with that. So that everybody can have this message. And someone brought it to us, and we're thankful for that. Let's take it to somebody else. And the Bible has a common theme from Genesis to Revelation. There are about 40 authors in the Bible, but they all present the same theme. They write in a period of time of about 1,500 years, but it's all the same theme. There are two major languages, Hebrew and Greek, and then a third minor language, Aramaic. But when they write in these different languages, and they live in different places, and there's over 40 of them, and it's 1,500 years, they all have the same theme, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. 66 books, but the same theme. We share a common theme, and that common theme speaks of a common remedy, a common Savior. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you have to go to God through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you live. Northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, east, west, doesn't matter. Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. There is one Lord. One Lord. One of the problems, brethren and friends, in focusing on diversity is one of the problems is we lose sight of the fact of the oneness of what God wants. And so because we live in a world that allows all multiple things and pluralistic things, the problem is people are thinking my way to salvation is through multiple kinds of saviors and religions. So Buddhism is fine and Hinduism is fine and Islam is fine and Judaism is fine and Shintoism is fine and the Baha'i faith, all of these different world religions. And that's the problem that we're in today. We're so much encouraging diversity and pluralism and everybody do your own thing that we've lost sight of the seven ones of Ephesians chapter 4. There's one Lord. One. And we've got to see that. The devil has propagated this lie, and it started back in the Garden of Eden. God knows good and evil, and you can be like God. Oh, now there's two gods. God and Eve. No, there's one. His lie was, you can be just like what He is. And so do your own thing and have your own way. And He's been doing that ever since. But there's one Savior, one remedy for this sin problem. Just one. And all mankind need Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And then verse 6, Jesus gave Himself a ransom for all. It's interesting in 1 and 2 Timothy how there's different times where Paul talks about God would have all men to be saved through this ransom for all. And so the remedy is the same for all 8.2 billion people. And in that message, there is a common invitation. You know, in the world today, some people are invited to things and other people aren't invited to things. Some people are invited to a really nice dinner party, but other people aren't. Some people are invited to a really nice event and other people aren't. This is an invitation for everybody. Everybody gets the exact invitation. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's the same invitation all over the world. Everybody can come and be a part of the remedy. Everybody can come and have their sin problem washed away in baptism. God is no respecter of persons, and Peter learned that when he was preaching to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. It doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter what your background is. Respond to the invitation. and help others to respond to that invitation. Come unto me. It's voluntary. You and I have to use our free will to make that choice. And in that invitation, Jesus has given us a common plan of salvation. We can all have the same knowledge. Jesus sent His disciples into all the world to preach the gospel to all creation. All creation. Paul says concerning the gospel, there is one faith. There's one faith. There's one faith, and there's one baptism. And we can all have that same knowledge of the gospel plan of salvation. Does everybody have the same knowledge of physics in this room? I don't. Does everybody have the same knowledge of calculus in this room? I don't. Does everybody have the same knowledge of this, 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 and this? There are things involving knowledge that we're not at the same level. We don't know the same things. But let me tell you something. When it comes to this, everybody can have the exact same knowledge of what they need to know. What a beautiful thing that is. It doesn't matter if you're in a country that has a high illiteracy rate. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're in a country with a high rate of poverty or a high rate of illness or this or that. Everybody everywhere can read this message and have the same knowledge on how to be saved. What a beautiful thing that is. So let's take advantage of that. And have that knowledge and obey that gospel today and then try to share it with others. And when that gospel is presented, we all share a common response. We all have to respond exactly the same way. There's no two different ways of responding. We all have to respond the same way. And that is through obedient faith. In Ephesians 4:5, there's one faith. That's talking about the body of Scripture. There's one faith. There's one plan of salvation. There's one message. And we need to respond. And so Paul talks, look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 4. Jude talks about a common salvation. Paul talks about a common faith. Look at that. He and Titus had a common faith. What is that? We both obey the gospel. We both exercise our belief in Christ and we obey the gospel. We have an obedient faith. That's a beautiful thing that ties people together all around the world. We all responded the same way. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm willing to confess that, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'm going to repent of my sins, turn my back on that, Acts 17, 30 and 31, and I'm going to submit to Christ in baptism for the remission of my sins, Acts 2, 38. Everybody around the world responds the same way, no matter where you're at. And what a great thing that is. And Paul calls it a common faith. When you go around the world and you look at a Christian, when you go around the world and look at a Christian, you're looking at someone who has here, in their heart and in their mind, and with their body submitting in baptism, they've done exactly what they need to do, and it's the same everywhere. We need to respond that same way before it's too late. And we need to help others respond that way. A common faith. That is a beautiful thing if you think about it. People speaking different languages and different educational backgrounds, and some are from humble means. Let me encourage you to read Mario and Wilney's reports from the Philippines and Benjamin and Rita's reports from Ghana. Some of our brethren have very, very humble means. Mario and Wilney live very humble means. Very humble means. But it doesn't matter. We all have the same faith. We all have the same faith. And when a person responds with obedient faith to the gospel, We're baptized into Christ, and as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, we're baptized into one body. We then begin to share with a common spiritual family. This is a beautiful thing. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul said that Christ took Greeks and Jews. They would have had different languages and different backgrounds and looked differently and other kinds of eat different kind of food and come from different places around the world. And Paul said in Ephesians 2, 11 through 22, Christ through the gospel put all of them together in one body. The one church, the one body, the one spiritual family, reconciled them both in one body unto God through the cross. Chapter 2, verse 16. There is one body or church, Ephesians 4, verse 4. Brethren, let me encourage you as much as you can to try to be with your brethren in other places. When you visit other towns, be with your brethren during a church service. Go to a gospel meeting and be with your brethren in other places. If you can travel and you do that, be with your brethren in other places. It's your family. It's your family. How many of us would go to another place and we had a literal physical family member there and we would not see them? If I went to another town and Jake and Chrissy and Emmeline were there, you know I'm going to see them. Or Carlin, you know I'm going to want to see them. You're not going to want to be in the same place and not want to see your family. Let me encourage you to go be with your spiritual family. Look at 1 Peter 2:17. Love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Love them. Be with them. Know them. Help them. Love them. Spend time with them. Eat with them. Visit with them. Do things with them. We share that. And it's a beautiful thing. In fact, you don't have to go to another country. Just going to other brethren in our own country, they will take you in. They'll take you in. You can stay with them. You can eat with them. They'll feed you. Y'all know where Brent stayed when he was here for a gospel meeting? Where did Brent stay? I don't know. You ever ask your, where did Brent stay? In a tent somewhere? Daniel and Linda took him in for a few days while he was here. Why did they do that? Well, they're family. And I appreciate the Mayberries doing that. We have a common family, and the more we appreciate that and the more we realize that, it's going to involve us getting out of our world and getting into the lives of other brethren, and then they get into your life. Open your home up. Open your life up to your spiritual family. God doesn't want us to go through life. Life is this is my life, just me. I'm supposed to open up and be with my brethren and let them be with me. Love the brotherhood. And that's brethren everywhere outside of the Warfield Boulevard congregation, here and outside. And what a beautiful thing it is that we share in that. And that is one reason why when we get an opportunity to preach the gospel in other countries that I know Sherry gets concerned about me when I'm overseas, and rightly so. But I'm with family. I'm with family. And I'm going to treat them like family. And they're going to treat me like family. And they do. Do you know that when we're baptized into Christ and we have this church, this family, do you know that we all have a common responsibility? We are to grow in Christ. We are to grow in Christ, and we are to engage in good works. We have a common responsibility to grow in Christ, that Christ be perfected in you, Colossians 1:28. And that Christ be formed in you, Galatians 4:19. We have a common responsibility all over the world that when we're baptized into Christ, we need to be growing as Christians and maturing. And we need to be engaged in the single-minded effort of doing the Lord's work. Yes, tomorrow we get up and go to work and school and other places and we have to take care of those things, but always have that single-minded effort on our mind. And that is, we share in the same effort as the work of Christ. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is our main effort in life. And do you know that we're all on the same journey? Did you know that? It doesn't matter where you are in the world, you're all on the same journey. And that is a coming judgment day. We're going to face God in judgment. And that can be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. But we're all on that same journey. Well, wait a minute. I thought some people were on an educational track. Well, graduated high school and going to college, or I'm on the track of getting a job, or I'm on the track of my journey is getting married, or my journey is having a family. There's a lot of different things going on, but everybody shares the same journey, and that is we live once and we die and we face God in judgment. It's the same for everybody. So let us, ourselves, and let us help others be on that right journey. It's the same for everyone. It is appointed unto man once to die and then cometh the judgment. That's the same for all 8.2 billion people. It's the same. So we've got to help them. We've got to be on the right track ourselves, and we've got to help them as well. And then last of all, having been obedient to the gospel and living faithfully, we all share a common destiny. And that's a beautiful home in heaven. There is one hope, not different kinds of hopes, not paradise with 70 virgins, no, not heaven on earth, as our Jehovah's Witness friends say, not three different levels of heaven, like our Mormon friends say, not purgatory, not limbo, no. Just one hope, the hope of heaven. And what a great hope that is. We all share a common destiny if we're living faithfully to the Lord. I hear so much today about how different people are. And the language that we use describes all these differences. I just wanted to remind us today of the common things that we share in all over the world. And let's share in those things to the extent that we are right with God. What a beautiful thing commonality is. Commonality is what God wants. Commonality. Not individuality. Commonality. Let's be a part of what God wants. If we can help you with that this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to step forward, let your needs be made known. Those of you who are living faithfully this morning, I appreciate you and I'm encouraged by your presence. Let's go out and do what we can to help others have the great things that we have. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?